From South Los Angeles to Washington, D.C., and many points in between, this is Political Talk on AnnenbergRadio.org and NeonTommy.com. I'm Max Schwartz with Katie Gregg. Today on Political Talk, the government shutdown, day 10 and counting. Graham Clark Stecklin is here to discuss the shutdown's negative effects on culture in America. The debt ceiling, the government has until October 17th to raise the limit so the bills can get paid, but congressional gridlock continues. And one of our guest contributors, Graham Clark Stecklin, if his name sounds familiar, it should be because he is the arts and culture producer for Annenberg Radio News, and he's also an executive producer and editor-at-large for Neon Tommy. He is here to discuss with us the negative impact the shutdown has on culture in America because the Smithsonian and monuments and national institutes are closed because of the shutdown. Graham, take it away.
Hey, Max. It's a pleasure being on your show here. Thanks. I'm glad I could finally get into the booth. And I guess I have to speak from personal experience about the negative side effects of the shutdown. The few people I know who have actually been furloughed have been involved in the Smithsonian, particularly the Smithsonian Pathways Project, which is a documentation of audio ethnography from across the world. And I know they've gotten shut down. And I've spoken with a few people who also work in different research functions. So I don't know if that really falls under the category of cultural side effects, but it's definitely been interesting to hear about that more. I love the series that Neon Tommy has done, profiling different people furloughed across the United States. I actually learned some surprising things from that. So I've been really happy to read those pieces and think about the impact this has on a human level, all these people going home and fixing up the odds and ends around their house.
As much as Neon Tommy appreciates the plug...
Fallen by the wayside.
Being an arts and culture person and being someone that wants to possibly be an arts and culture journalist and that has done cartooning, etc., what does the closure mean as at large for America and the youth?
I have to say, not to be contrarian or to have misled you when I said I wanted to come on here and talk about the side effects for culture, I think this might have a positive impact at the end of the day. I think what we're seeing right now is a lot more people focusing on what government actually is, what should be happening. I'm hearing a lot of conversations like that. Obviously, people say stuff like, let's just get all these fools out of office. Let's not elect a single incumbent next year. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think that this has been some sort of impetus to think a little bit more and sort of reflect on what's actually going on in our country right now. I can't think of that as a bad thing, no matter how I slice it. It'll be pretty bad if we default, if we reach the debt ceiling, if everything goes to pot.
We're going to talk about that later.
I'll put it in my pocket and save it for a rainy day. But at the moment, yeah, I'm seeing a pretty big silver lining on it. And maybe I'm being glib. Maybe I'm writing off a serious issue. But nevertheless, I think that that's been the main result so far.
That's definitely an interesting perspective. And I do want to ask, though, how much do you believe people have actually learned from this, especially people that wouldn't have known about the government otherwise?
It's hard, again, to imagine that it's that different from normal. Having just said all that, having just said about how this is a break from tradition, it seems like people are sort of still consuming news with the same rate that they would otherwise. You know what I mean?
Okay.
We're paying attention to, you know, specific sort of random individuals in Congress. I don't think more people are really likely to know who their congressman is after the shutdown, even though you'd think that might happen. I think we're just more inclined to follow different, strange, isolated incidents and people.
Okay. And now for the introduction of the topic, and I'm sorry I didn't do this before. The government shutdown is still with us, and we are into day 10, as I mentioned in the opening monologue. We are seeing some progress because President Obama met with the House Democratic Caucus yesterday, and today he met with the Senate Democratic Caucus, as well as the House Republican leadership. And so with that, I have two questions for the floor. We'll start with Katie. And those are, do you have a changed response on when you believe this will end? And the second is, who is to blame for this?
I honestly don't know when I think this is going to end. I'm hoping in the next week or so, since I believe that the last shutdown lasted, 21 days? So that had some pretty bad implications. I mean, it's bad for business, bad for the economy. Some might say it's bad for culture, although you beg to differ, Graham.
I'm full of complications and dualities. I'm sorry.
But, so I don't know honestly, I can't predict that.
Okay.
But
in terms of who to blame?
In terms of who to blame, I think it's, you know, I think it's both parties. I think that people that are representatives are not being willing enough to meet, to talk.
Well, that's why it was a big development today
right.
when President Obama met with various leadership. And
yeah.
yesterday, Speaker John Boehner met with House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, and CBS Radio News reported that they couldn't even agree on who started the meeting or who called for the meeting. So that just goes
yeah.
to show you how deep this partisan gridlock is going at the present time. But at least
yeah.
we are seeing progress in that regard. Graham, do you have any thoughts on the issue?
Of course I do.
Anything that can be summed up relatively quickly?
Give me a second here. Let my brain juices percolate. I certainly have no idea when this will end. If it stretches out mm-hmm. for years and years, that'll be a little bit of a curveball. But as far as whether people are to blame or not, as so often happens, I feel like The Onion managed to sum it up so beautifully. It was hard to say much more, where they talked about, you know, 95% of Americans being disapproving of a Congress that represents them exactly. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but identify with that at least a little bit.
Well, there's a trend in America that I think it's something like people have a 99% approval rating of their congressman, but now it's 10% approval rating for Congress.
Yeah.
That's the general trend. People love their congressperson but can't stand Congress as a whole, which is really two separate entities. But that's a different aspect entirely. Yeah. Now I want to switch gears and something that came across today, and that is actually that's for the debt ceiling. I apologize. I want to go back, and something that happened over the weekend was the Pay Our Military Act and the military
yes.
death benefits, which President Obama signed to keep the military paid. And up until yesterday, it was excluding those that had died. So what kind of a mark does this put on Congress?
Could you rephrase your question?
What kind of negative mark do you think this says about our Congress? I mean, people blamed Chuck Hagel for interpreting the law the way he did, and Chuck Hagel blamed Congress for not including it specifically, like one of the representatives
yeah.
warned. So, what do you think this says about our Congress?
I mean, I think it looks negative, just because we would expect that our, you know, the men and women who serve in our military would be taken care of.
Exactly.
And the fact that Congress, you know, hadn't really taken care of them, how can we support that?
Yeah, I want to compare it to the myth of Santa Claus, that it sort of lived in my mind when I was a young man. Stay with me here. Just because as a younger person, that's something that I thought would be undoubtedly true, that who would be taken care of better by the U.S. government than the military? And
yeah.
the people who sort of earned their citizenship by fighting for it, as Abraham Lincoln said, was so important. Mm-hmm. And then nevertheless, once you, you know, turn 13, you see the wrapping paper in your mom's closet and you start putting two and two together. You see, you know, what percentage of homeless people are veterans and what sort of programs outside of the government are being started to try to get veterans jobs
mm-hmm.
and
healthcare. And that's a good point, because I'm sorry to interrupt, but the Secretary of Veterans Affairs said today, it was either today or yesterday, that if this isn't resolved, then checks will not be sent out and benefits will no longer be able to provide it. And as Jay Carney noted yesterday during the White House press briefing, that we have VA disability claims at an all-time low. And we're lower compared to its peak. We're just above 400,000 when our peak was at 600,000 approximately. But they did find a loophole, the Department of Defense that did, in terms of civilian furloughs. Before October 5th, there were 800,000, that was the approximate number, 800,000 mm-hmm. federal workers on furlough. And then Secretary Hagel and with the DOD General Counsel, as well as Department of Justice attorneys, conferred and agreed that you could call civilian employees back, and I'm quoting the exact statement here. It would be, you can call employees back that increase morale, well-being, and readiness of service members. And that's exactly what they did. They are calling 90%, it was reported, of the civilian employees back, and the Department of Homeland Security did the same for the Coast Guard.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think this has to say, that we are government has resorted to this.
Can you explain one thing to me as a clueless oaf? When there are disability claims are down, what does that mean? Does that mean
that means that the VA is working hard to eliminate the backlog?
Okay.
I should say that. Thank you for catching me on that. Mm-hmm. When I say they're down, I mean that the VA is starting to more or less catch up with paperwork, relatively speaking. They had people working mandatory overtime.
Interesting. So, this is going to add more pressure onto...
Well, this will just add to the backlog if this continues because there will be no one there. But I want to go back and talk about what I just mentioned, which was the recall of workers. I mean, I think this is obviously a good sign. Katie, what do you think?
No, I agree. I think it is good that workers are, going back. It's just an issue of, are they getting paid? That's what I wonder. I mean...
They're being recalled. I believe what will happen is because they're civilian employees, as far as I know, they will be paid when the government shutdown is over, just like the air traffic controllers.
Right.
But they've been deemed essential, so they can come back to work. And they've been deemed essential because of the interpretation of the law that Secretary Hagel found.
Yeah, I think that could increase the morale of, lots of these government-run groups, programs, just because having people furloughed, not working, it's kind of depressing, honestly. Like, people are supposed to be at their jobs, and now that they're going back, it kind of might make people more motivated to push Congress to, fix this.
Yeah, I got to push back there because it's just adding to the backlog. It's just sort of adding to the friction and the frustration to have this whole time period going. And I'm trying to find the silver lining here that this is maybe a positive moment, even before things are back up and running again. This is perhaps good. Isn't it just the historical precedent that after any shutdown, the furloughed employees will receive payment for the times? Or is it...
That was legislation. Well, that was legislation. I guess every furloughed employee will receive back pay. At least that's what I understand from the legislation that was signed.
Okay.
But there will be pay for those that are furloughed. But the ones that are deemed essential, like I said, will have delayed pay. And I want to ask, where does Salmonella and Foster Farms chicken fit into all of this?
Please explain.
First of all, I think this is disgusting.
Considering it's from
California. So three California factories there's been salmonella traced back to them. I think this has been dated back to like March, right? There were issues of salmonella in their factories. I think that's what I read. But so right now there's, salmonella infected chicken across like 17 countries, incidents of it.
17 countries?
I mean... Oh, I'm delirious. States.
Yes, and they originated from California. And I got to ask, because we're going to get here. Do you believe that this could have been, because I personally do you think this could have been avoided had the FDA and the CDC had, or could they have been this avoided had there not been a government shutdown and the CDC and the FDA fully staffed?
I think that the these factories, I guess is what you would call them, I think they were still being investigated. It was just that the CDC, 68% of CDC workers were furloughed, and then some were brought back to help with this investigation. So, I mean, yeah, maybe if they had been fully staffed, it could have been prevented. But it seems to me if this was an issue in March, then it's been an issue.
But if they were fully staffed, then the FDA could have done their normal food inspections, and this could have possibly prevented.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But then why wasn't it preventing it in March?
I'm going to be honest. That's the first time I've heard the March figure.
Okay.
So I'm not doubting you. I'm just saying that's the first time I've heard the March figure.
Okay.
So like Mary Poppins taught us, it's not impossible. It's not that this could have been caught. Well, nevertheless, it's a very grisly business.
Yeah.
When in history have we... nipped these things in the bud. It seems like it's always retroactively we find out that Jack in the Box has, massacred the organs of people across the
nation. Graham, where are you going with this?
It seems like the process for addressing this sort of health issue is problematic at best.
Well, I do have to say something that bothers me about this whole issue is the fact that these factories are saying that it's okay because they can cook the chickens and give them.
I agree, that's not good.
And give antibiotics, and it's just.
And the FDA even warned that if you cook it properly, you can still eat the chicken. But I want to.
Gross.
I agree.
Like it. I don't
but
like it.
We're moving on now to the next topic, which is the impending debt ceiling crisis. October 17th is the date Treasury Secretary Liu has said the Treasury Department would run out of money to pay the bills. That means there will not be enough cash on hand to pay for spending that Congress has committed to. In other words, this is when the debt ceiling has to be raised by. If the government cannot borrow money, more money, I should say, the U.S. will default on its loans for the first time in history. So I have to ask the quote-unquote bastard question, do you think Congress will pass a debt ceiling increase?
Is that the question, or is the question who wants to bet on it? It seems like it's going to happen. It has to happen, right? If they it'll be the end of the world. But what kind of odds will you give me?
Well, first of all, it won't be the end of the world. But we have had leading economists and leading experts in the field say that this, in fact, will lead to a recession. It could possibly even lead to a global recession.
What will lead to a recession if we don't pass?
If we default on our loans, this could be catastrophic.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it would also be catastrophic to keep raising our debt ceiling. So I think that maybe the issue here would be dealing with our budget.
I will say that
that's the big issue.
I will say, speaking of budget, and I have to interject the Affordable Care Act here because I didn't in our first topic, that the Affordable Care Act actually brings down the deficit according to the Office of Management and Budget.
Of course.
And I would...
Please continue. I'm just chiming in. Yes, indeed.
And I would also like to say that the deficit now is at its lowest rate in a long time. With that being said, there is partisan gridlock, and we have seen partisan gridlock. Although there was hope today, there was a glimmer of hope today. CNN said, quote, House Republican leaders said Thursday, or CNN reported, quote, House Republican leaders said Thursday they will propose a temporary increase in the nation's borrowing limit, end quote. Mm-hmm. So I will say that we have seen glimmer of hope, but there is still partisan gridlock. And do you think that the Tea Party, how much longer do you think the Tea Party will be able to keep this up?
Well, is it just the Tea Party? I mean,
no, but the Tea Party is putting severe pressure on John Boehner.
Well, I mean, I think that it's going to be kept up until I think that there should be more. Trying to think of the right word, cooperation between, you know, the two parties. And I think that...
But then I ask you, should Obama really have to budge? If this is about spending in the Affordable Care Act, even though Obama has already brought down deficits, should he have to negotiate more?
Yeah. I mean, should we raise our debt ceiling more? Should we keep owing people more and more money?
Well, we have to raise the debt ceiling to pay for spending we have already committed to. And that I'm all in favor of. I'm also all in favor of raising the debt ceiling if we are spending money on trying to get our fragile economy back to life. Because arguably, we are still on life support. And I think the Fed reaffirmed that when they didn't taper off their bond buying purchasing. But I want to move on now and...
Interesting matter, though. I mean, I'm glad to hear these different perspectives. I don't think so much of the let's rip it up and start again, let's actually cut down the budget while we have this, while we're forced to do something.
I mean, that's why I think that's what I think is what we should do.
And
honestly,
I'm glad you brought up the temporary increase because there are some Republicans who have said that they're willing to perform a temporary increase. And did you want to take that and run with it?
Well, actually, wasn't it Boehner? Didn't Boehner give a speech talking about that? I think he announced in a press conference that Republicans will move, quote unquote, halfway towards Obama's demands by raising the debt ceiling for a temporary period.
Yes, but he's only willing to do something if Obama's willing to negotiate, which is why I asked the question a little bit earlier whether Obama should really have to give in to John Boehner and the negotiations, no matter who it is. But I want to go back to the Tea Party comment. And do we think here that Boehner is going against the Tea Party by wanting to negotiate at all,
right,
or at least it would appear that way. Do you believe that the Tea Party will oust him from the speakership if the Republicans maintain a majority in 2014?
I mean, I don't think that the Tea Party has that much say. You know, they are just a small faction of the Republican Party, as
they're
you
small
said.
But powerful.
Small but powerful, indeed. But I don't think that he would be ousted because of the Tea Party.
Really? Okay.
Let's see if he gets a Christmas card from the Koch
brothers
this year.
He could be ousted for other reasons, but not just because of the Tea Party.
And I just want to ask, what kind of effect do you think going into the week Tomorrow's Friday, but going into the week of the debt ceiling, what do you think the Wall Street's reaction is going to be to all this? We saw it had a temporary positive reaction to Janet Yellen's appointment.
Yeah.
But what do you think Wall Street's going to do next week?
I mean, there's so much. Nobody knows what's going on right now. I feel like there's no way that Wall Street can respond positively to all of this.
Okay, Graham?
Well, I always imagine someone's making money. I don't know if the stock market's just going to sit still.
Well, do you think it will tank?
I think it could.
I'm told it will.
I will say that yesterday on October the 9th, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 26, was up just over 26 right. and 4/10 of a point, or was up just above that much. And that could arguably because of Janet Yellen. And I want to set the record straight. On October 4th, when I said the Dow Jones Industrial Average would tank, or I guess the stock market as a whole would tank, but the Dow Jones Industrial Average being the greatest indicator, I will say that it only lost 9/10 of a percentage point on that day when I said it would.
I recall that. That's pretty substantial. Nevertheless, let's not make light of that. I mean, compared to how much it rose
that's
today,
true.
it's still, you know, making up lost percentages there.
Yeah. That's very true.
Good point.
Maybe I'm arguing over tidbits here.
I think it's a good point.
That's very true. Thank you, Katie and Graham. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Political Talk. We would like to thank Joel Zink, our engineer, and Karen Lowe and Willis Seidenberg, the Annenberg Radio News co-faculty advisors, for all of their help. From the Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism, I'm Max Schwartz, along with Katie Gregg and guest contributor Graham Clark Stecklin.
It's still a real pleasure to be here. I have one question before I go that I need to have answered.
Uh-huh.
And sorry to put you in the hot seat. What exactly is the hot seat? Which one of you two is in it right now?
That would be Max.
That would
you
be
sure?
me, yes. And thank you for bringing that up. The hot seat is my other podcast on AnnenbergRadio.org and NeonTommy.com. And on Friday, October the 11th, thank you, we will have Jonathan Wilcox, Communications Director for the Republican Party of Los Angeles County. And he also served as the spokesperson for the ICER campaign when he ran for governor during the Gray Davis recall in 2003. So thank you, Graham, for injecting that in there, and I will. And
thank you.
My pleasure. And as I was saying, we hope to have you back next week. But in the meantime, you can reach us at politicaltalkpodcast@gmail.com and on Twitter by using the hashtag #politicaltalkpodcast.